I got something different today I want to do with you because we're going to do some speed rounds here with my millennial panel. I'm always interested in their thinking. I want to find out, is this Elon Musk situation, is Twitter actually going to come through, or is he going to drop the deal? McDonald's is pulling out of Russia. Is there something happening with Netflix and Disney and McDonald's? Is there a potential woke backlash that's happening with corporations? This is a big story, folks, and then we're going to be looking. The main thing that inspired me to do this is I'm realizing the next generation doesn't appreciate the news format that John McLaughlin had with the McLaughlin Group. And I was discussing with them how McLaughlin used to have these liberals and conservatives gathered around. I'd love to have a program like that. We got liberal perspective, conservative perspective. But McLaughlin was so greatly satirized by Dana Carvey on Saturday Night Live. I took the segment to educate my office here, and we got totally different reactions. Tell me what you think. I want to go a different format just as an experiment and start off with Dana Carvey, how the McLaughlin Group made history and educated my generation on politics. Elon Musk says Twitter deal cannot move forward. Let me poll the team here. How many of you think Elon Musk is not going to buy Twitter? Starting with Jonathan.
I think he's going to buy it. I think this is kind of a little bit of a play to save himself a significant amount of money and also to really highlight the issues that are going on with Twitter beyond their censorship policies.
Okay. Carl, is Elon Musk going to buy Twitter?
I think it really depends on how many bots they find.
You're hedging your prediction?
Well, I think it depends entirely on how many bots they find. I don't think it's a yes or no. I think it depends on what information comes about.
Is Elon going to buy it?
I'm going to go with no. As the D on the team, I'll give you the straight answer you're looking for.
Is Elon Musk going to buy Twitter? The answer is no, he's not going to buy. As John McLaughlin would say, for the McLaughlin Group.
I think he's going to, so to Carl's point, it depends on if Twitter fesses up the truth.
He says the Twitter deal cannot move forward until CEO proves fake account numbers. And when he says it cannot move forward, what we're talking about is in its filings, Twitter claims fewer than 5% of accounts on the platform are fake or spam accounts. Musk disputes this figure and estimates spam and fake accounts make up 20%. Of accounts on the platform, four times higher than Twitter's official number. The real number could be even much higher than that, Musk projects. Therefore, if the deal cannot move forward, it's not likely to move forward. But will there be repercussions when it's found out that advertisers were paying for fake accounts and were being billed for fake accounts and that Twitter knew they were flooding their business with fake business and charging you for fictitious contact with imaginary customers?
And then the value of Twitter goes down, and then Musk is able to go in at an even lower amount. If possible. If he wants to. It's an option.
I think we've killed that one. I think I'm right. Sweden ends neutrality, joins Finland in seeking NATO. Issue two. What's happening in the EU, and what's new with you?
What bit is this? What is this from?
This is from John McLaughlin. How many of you out there remember the McLaughlin Group? Don't you remember John McLaughlin? Do we have any YouTubes with Dana Carvey we could play? Dana Carvey with Patrick Buchanan and Jack Jamon from the Chicago Sun. Eleanor Cliff, and Morton Kondracki. You guys don't remember this. See, you're missing the richness of history in America.
Problem is, I think we were all under five when that was coming out and you're talking about it.
Chelsea, can you get us an SNL on YouTube? I'm sure that we could play this without penalty. SNL YouTube, Dana Carvey hosting the McLaughlin Group. See if you can find it for us. I want you to play. Go ahead. Play a segment now of Dana Carvey playing. This is Dana Carvey impersonating John McLaughlin, the Jesuit almost like a vaudeville-type facilitator of journalists on his Saturday morning show, Sunday morning, national award-winning news. Let's go ahead and play it.
From the nation's capital, the McLaughlin Group, an unrehearsed, hastily assembled program presenting inside opinions and forecasts on major issues of the day, with Jack Germond of the Baltimore Sun, syndicated columnists Pat Buchanan and Eleanor Clift, and Morton Kondracki of The New Republic. Now, here's the moderator, John McLaughlin.
Issue number one, the commander-in-chief in Mexico. Bush wants a free trade agreement. What does President Salinas want, Pat Buchanan?
John Salinas is playing up his recent economic success and steering his
country toward...
I don't think it's so much what Salinas wants, it's what
Eleanor
the Mexicans...
Cliff.
John, this is just another case of President Bush trying to push a policy...
I'm not sure Bush has a policy, which
Excuse
is part
me,
of the
Pat,
problem.
I believe Eleanor has the floor.
Thanks, John. The hard truth is that Bush needs Salinas more than Salinas...
I think this agreement talk is basically a
Wrong!
Pipe dream.
Wrong! There will be a free trade agreement. It will take place within 1 year. Issue number two, Maggie out, Major in. The new British Prime Minister. Some believe he's a Thatcher clone. Will he carry out her policies? Come on!
Well, Thatcherites are privately rejoicing.
Wrong! Mortone!
See, Thatcher endorsed...
Wrong! On a scale of 1 to 14, 1 being lowest degree of likelihood, 14 being absolute metaphysical certitude, what are the chances of Major continuing Thatcher's alliance with Bush vis-a-vis the Iraqis? Eleanor Clift.
I'd say about a 12.
Pat Buchanan!
Hold it. 14 is most likely.
Yes?
I'd have to say about a 9.
Jack Jamon!
Lower, like 5.
Mortone!
8.
Wrong! The actual degree of likelihood is 6.5. Issue number three, life after death. Some pundits say it doesn't exist. Theologians disagree. Is there an afterlife? Jachamon!
I really don't know.
Mortone!
Well, it's not my field.
Pat Buchanan!
I'd like to believe, but it's
Wrong!
Hard to...
There is life after death. The soul does not ascend to heaven, but rather rests in a limbo state that varies depending on the karma of the spirit. Issue number four, intelligent beings on other planets, yes or no? Pat Buchanan!
I would think so, but...
Eleanor Cliff!
Don't know.
Jack Jamon!
Me either.
Mortone Town!
Well, no one really knows.
Wrong! There is intelligent life in the 11th galaxy on the planet Neptar, which will conquer Earth in the year 5482, utilizing us for slave labor and the Shalunian salt mines. Issue number five, what number am I thinking of? Pat Buchanan!
Jeez, 82.
Wrong, Eleanor Clift.
Is it between 1
Don't
and 100?
Don't skirt the issue.
40.
Wrong, Mortone Tyne.
212.
Wrong, Jacarino.
2.
Wrong, the correct answer is 134. Issue number six, what did you have for breakfast today? Eleanor.
Some cantaloupe.
Mortone Town, USA.
I had poached eggs and toast.
Jack Jamondo.
Bacon and eggs.
Patty Patty Buke Buke.
I'm thinking waffles, maybe
Wrong.
A little...
Wrong! You all had Special K with banana.
The government is going to open up investigations into UFOs. Jonathan, do you think anything is going to come out of this in terms of discovering secrets that we didn't already know about potential alien life?
No, I don't. I don't think anything new will come out from it. There was a lot of information that already came out last year, so it kind of seems that they're a little bit late to the ball on this.
Carl, do you think that Tucker Carlson's going to be covering this thing more aggressively once the information comes out?
I think it's the only way that he covers any news is aggressively.
Are you watching Tucker at all? Tell me the truth. Tell your dad the truth.
Can you look at my face and tell me if I watch Tucker?
I don't think you're watching Tucker. Mercedes, do you think that the government's going to be exposed to anything we didn't already know about the UFOs?
I don't believe in UFOs, so I don't know.
You believe all flying saucers are identified?
I believe those types of things are demonic, so that's what I believe.
On this occasion, Mercedes is absolutely correct. They're all a demonic deception being played by Fox News to increase their ratings. Now I'm going to cover another subject, which I think is very important. I want you to talk about the de-arching of McDonald's. This is going to be our final segment on the show. What do you think about McDonald's refusing now to sell Russia any of their hamburgers? Do you think this is going to affect the war outcome? Jonathan.
I don't think it's going to affect the war outcome. I think it's honestly, in my opinion, a bad move, because once you do it now, it's like, okay, McDonald's, then why aren't you stopping to sell? Why aren't you closing your restaurants in all of these other locations that are doing horrible things? And then it's the exact situation that we're in right now with companies taking political stances and then facing the ramifications of it. When we saw that with Georgia, with the election bills and stuff, of people commenting towards these companies as saying, why are you still running your business? So it's just opening a door for that to go even further, I think.
Carl, is it going to have an impact? McDonald's is going to sell, they're going to stop selling to Russia. What do you think?
Yes, I think we're going to see obesity numbers go down, and I think general happiness was going to go up.
Carl is saying something which I think we ought to take note of. In all likelihood, health is going to increase now that McDonald's is pulling out. But Mercedes, do you have any thoughts about corporations pulling out of Russia in general?
I don't think it's always healthy to force people into isolation. I don't know if you take somebody that's in a really unhealthy situation and you continue to isolate them, because I feel like it just becomes more and more, and they can become more and more intense. So pulling the dollar out, pulling, you know, their ability to do business with us. I mean, there's a line there of not endorsing them and not endorsing war. I understand that. But at the same time, that I, you know, if we totally, every corporation pulls out, we stop doing business with them entirely, I'm like, I just don't know if that's the best decision either.
All right, final question for the committee, the panel. Netflix is losing money. Disney is losing market share. Do you think it could be that at some level the country is developing an awareness at the corporate boardroom level that you don't want to get involved with politics, it's bad for business and for market purposes? Do you think they're finally aware of the fact that if they go too woke, they might go broke? Jonathan?
I think definitely. And we can kind of see that with Netflix's most recent stance that they released to their employees, essentially saying, you're going to have to work on projects that you may not personally agree with, you may view as harmful to other people, but essentially kind of suck it up, or you need to find a different job. So I think that the fact that they made that stance shows that they recognize, and other companies as well recognize, that taking such strong political stances is, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get burned one way or the other. You're either going to tick off the left or you're going to tick off the right. So it's bad for business one way or the other.
Carl, what are your thoughts about Netflix, especially this idea about firing and saying, if you don't like working here, work someplace else. We're not going to be caving in on everybody's political sensitivities.
Yeah, I appreciate an employer that tells their employees to grow up. So I think Netflix is going to be able to manage the storm. I don't think it's going to be the same for Disney. I think their wackadoo ways are going to actually catch up and bite them in the, we'll say, butt.
Netflix and Disney, wonder who's going to be next, but Mercedes. There is one program on Amazon Prime that we can recommend to people that is enlightening regarding icons that you probably don't know about, just like John MacArthur and the McLaughlin Group, but you might know about I Love Lucy. Tell me about that one.
Why didn't I get to answer the question?
Well, I thought they kind of beat that one up, but if you want to.
I have a different opinion.
Wait a second. Mercedes, do you think that the corporations are learning a lesson as they look at Netflix and Disney and see market share wandering into the killing fields of political sensitivities?
Nope, I don't think so. I think that Netflix putting the statement out is, I think, placating. It's like, oh, yeah, if you have a problem. I think they're just biding their time. Let's weather the storm. Let's get through it. I don't think from a policy standpoint anything's changed. And to present evidence in terms of what I'm talking about, do you know how many corporations are now funding for employees to go out of state and have an abortion? Starbucks, Lululemon, Amazon.
Uber?
Yeah. And so it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, listen. There's some of those woke policies I can look past from time to time because I just enjoy certain types of entertainment. And I'm like, I'm just going to ignore it. But my goodness, paying an employee to go murder someone, a little tiny baby, I can't stomach it.
You're bringing me down, Mercedes. You're bringing me down. I was trying to bring us up, but you're bringing me back into the morbid zone.
Sorry.
But I want to say this. You did turn me on to a great Prime Video.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to talk about the Lucy show?
Well, I mean, I could talk about it because now I'm watching it.
Do you know what? I'm not sure if I like this segment. It's like a really aggressive TMZ. It's like the TMZ because you're all millennials and you're like the older dude. But it's like you're not like that guy like casually sipping his little drink there. You're like barking at everyone. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm letting you know what we grew up with. Us baby boomers are getting a bad rap. But listen, we were tough. We can handle the McLaughlin Group. We can handle that kind of cerebral, warfare. That's what Ben Shapiro was the final of our group that came out.
Right. Anyway, so I Love Lucy documentary. I thought it was a fantastic documentary. It was one of the comedian girls that did it put it together. I can't remember if it was Amy Poehler or if it was the other girl, but it was done so well. And it chronicles like you think of like. The I Love Lucy show. It's that whole
the 1950s.
Segment. Yeah, 1950s. How they met. It does the whole thing about how they met. and, you know, fleeing Cuba. Is it Desi Arnaz,
Desi
right?
Arnaz left yes. Cuba. So he had a very wealthy and an aristocratic family.
Yes, right?
Poehler.
What?
It was Poehler, Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, thank you. And see, I'm remembering it off the top of my head. And so anyway, so he ends up having to flee Cuba before the whole communist regime comes in, right? And so he ends up in Florida. He's really an iconic American success story where he fled to America as a refugee. He ends up becoming a protege of like the number one, like, what is this, La Bamba type of a thing?
Well, that's the Congo.
Congo, yeah. Well, yeah, he becomes the Congo king.
Right.
And he popularizes...
Cuban Pete, I'm the king of the rumba beat.
Yeah.
When I played the maracas, I go chicka-chicky-boom and chicka-chicky-boom.
Totally. So then, it does Lucy's too. Like Lucy's, she was like the queen of the B-list movies, essentially.
Right. And they didn't know she could do comedy.
No. And so but they end up meeting on set and falling in love. And it was really weird because like you think A-type male energy, Desi was like that. He was so driven. And so it just chronicles the whole thing, this show's success. The fact that, I mean, at Lance, it's just the coolest thing. I don't know how far you've made in the documentary, but they are the ones that popularized, instead of doing live, when the I Love Lucy show came on, the signal degraded by the time it got to the other side of the United States. They were the first ones to do pre-taping.
They filmed with film, mm-hmm. with a live audience, which nobody did.
Yep.
So it was film quality, which meant there had to be one take, no mistakes. And they did it with an audience watching while cameras are whizzing around and the lighting team was there. Mm-hmm. Seinfeld couldn't have existed unless Desilu Productions had created this new idea.
Yeah, first interracial relationship on screen.
And Americans' tolerance back then was nobody believed it could work till they took it to theaters, like at like Broadway. They experimented, and the audience loved watching the interaction of the mm-hmm. Latino movie star figure with Lucille Ball, who's kind of a Red Skelton comedy figure.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the things that we got from the I Love Lucy show, too, and I feel like even with the pregnancy, there was something significant about the pregnancy as well, where it was like...
Because it was the first live pregnancy, and they said, well, you can't go on TV because American mores back then, look how America's changed so much. Mm-hmm. A pregnant woman couldn't be on television. They never had a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. And so you had to watch her all the way to the 9th month, and then they built little Ricky getting born into the script.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So I just think too, you know, it's like Deborah's, it's leadership, it's women, it's women and men doing things together. I think you end up with the best, most prolific result. And so anyways, it's just, I thought it was such a wonderful document. It goes on, it talks about their marriage, and it really follows Desi. I mean, Desi ends up...
I haven't seen the whole thing yet. Don't tell me anymore.
Okay.
Why don't you join us? You that are at home, but I want you to notice something, just an observation. The McLaughlin Group was flat for Mercedes. She didn't really like it. Doesn't have any history. But when we have the element of romance, the guy and the girl and their story, she's all excited about it. This is female energy. I don't care what you say about genetics, people. Female energy is different than male energy because it has the story of the romance. She's all excited about it.
It's not necessarily the romance.
The McLaughlin Group was a romance of a different sort. John McLaughlin, Jack Jamon, Patty Beefcakes Buchanan, Eleanor, tell me a lot more, Cliff. It was just...
fact that a woman came along, shook the industry up, rewrote how that industry conducted business. And it was through the I Love Lucy show, not Lucas show, Lucy. So it was a woman who did that. That's what I think is so powerful. And how they worked really well together, how the two of them...
Desi?
Yeah, sorry, I can't think of it.
Lucy?
Yeah, Desi and Lucy.
Lucy!
Exactly. That's what I liked. It's because the love story ends up falling apart, which you didn't let me get to that part, but it does their whole
marriage. You had to ruin it for me. You had to tell me the ending. This is why my kids never let me talk about movies. They say I ruin the movies I tell you the ending.
It's beautiful. It's like on his deathbed.
Don't even tell me about that part. I don't want to know about that part. You know what? You ruined the whole thing for me. I didn't even know he's dead till now.
What do you mean you didn't know?
I didn't know he's dead. Is she still around?
How old did you think he was?
Hey, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. These guys are eternal. They're immortal.
They're eternal. Okay. Fair enough.
You know, it's like those people that think Hitler's still in Argentina. He's 125.
Do you know this? Let me just say something? We're going to go into a level 10 broadcast after this, I think, because are you reading yourself into the role of Desi? Here's a charismatic male figure, king of the rumba, does Broadway, has a TV show, and you just found out he died. Is that what happened?
I'm a little disappointed that you're telling me the whole story here, but I have to land the plane now. So we're going to land the plane. But before we land the plane, I want to tell you something. Saturday, we're having a lot of great people. We're doing our last episode of Becoming Unstoppable, because this is really what it's all about. It's about experimentation. Experimentation, and you create, I don't care what goes on in the world around you, we're going to teach you how to frame the vision God has for your life, the future, and then that picture that you get clear becomes for you a desire, and then you bring the desire back into the present so that you can literally create a loop where you're manifesting the vision that God gave. You have to close yourself off against the negativity of the environment around you, which is why I want to give you the news from a prophetic perspective, because all things are working together for your good. The Level 10 broadcast on Saturdays will show you how to harness the power that you have for the slingshot you own. In other words, there's no giant you're up against that you can't beat if you utilize the weapons that God gave you, the resources God gave you, and the call that God gave you, which is why this book is so important, the Bible. It's coming down to literally nations and people. By the way, I want to close this broadcast out making a statement. I think the corporations are about to have a wake-up call, and here's why. You see, the left has decided to go woke. So if Uber, and if, you know, the Netflix, and if Disney, and if Twitter, and these other platforms decide that they are going to jab their finger in the eye of 150 million consumers, do you know what it's creating? Getter and Gab and all these, and Truth Social. It's creating, I'm literally sitting on an explosive industry of entrepreneurs that have wealth that are saying, you know, well, we weren't really interested in being gatekeepers of culture. We didn't want to go to we weren't trying to take over Harvard and Yale and CNN. But we do get concerned with our politicians and our school boards now, and you're watching the populist movement rise. And brother, let me tell you something. You know, if Uber wants to play that game, you wait until it sticks its finger in the eye and the message has been communicated to 100 million consumers, because some conservative is going to come up with, and it's happening right now. I know it because I'm actually watching the funding rounds, and it's going to be huge. What America's going to do is going to have a sheep and goat divide. You're seeing it in Florida and Texas versus California and New York. And guess what? California, New York can't hold a candle to Florida and Texas. So what's happening is we're going to start have free market competition, and the money is going. It's the ultimate altar that these guys worship at isn't ideology. It's dineros. And when the money gets hit, you're going to watch them get religion.
Well, to your point, I got a new app we're going to be bringing to people here in the next week or two. And it's like.
I was thinking about it.
I didn't say it,
but it was in the back of my mind. We're about to launch something right now. Oh, boy.
It's like
by the way,
LinkedIn.
You can get your oh, boy cup if you want to. Go ahead.
Oh, well, yes. So it's in the middle of sense. But LinkedIn meets Yelp is what this app's going to be. But it's for businesses that support conservative worldviews. How many of you want to know where you can find a doctor where you don't have to wear a mask in their office, an urgent care where you don't have to wear a mask? And so it's like these businesses are out there. And what this entrepreneur, to your point, found, like, you know what, I'm sick of this. And he started just asking different businesses, hey, do you support like a conservative worldview? What do you think about this issue? And he started compiling a whole database. Well, now it's all across the United States. You could put in where you live. And if you're a business owner, you can add your business to it. It's totally free. So anyways, I got to get the details. I want to make sure everybody's okay with me promoting it.
Just think about it, man. I'm telling you, you could open up now your competition for Uber in Tallahassee or in Dallas. And you say, if you aren't happy with their stance against you, You can find this app and find the Patriot drivers. And these are people that love America, love you, and keep the politics out of the cab. What a great tagline. Boom, I'll tell you, those are going to compete with Uber in certain markets. It's going to be, I guarantee, the educational process is just beginning. And it's going to be huge. By the way, last night I brought my shark on my show. You know, I've got my home show. You give me that funny look. And you know what I'm doing? I'm whacking that. I'm giving judgment on the bad, bad devil. Every time he tries to take over America, it's whack, whack, whack. We're bringing the hammer down, and I want you to know something. We're going to have a new day coming into America. We're going to see you tomorrow, same time, same bat channel, Lance Wallnau Show. Make sure you like and subscribe and tell your friends about it, and you're not going to want to miss it. And by the way, if you like the McLaughlin segment, do give me comments if you thought that was entertaining and funny, because I think it's hilarious. Okay, talk to you later again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world. See you tomorrow.